check you on out. Thanks for tuning in today. This is E.
And this is Amy.
And you're listening to Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day for you to join us. We are rounding up the top five most listened to cases in 2020 from us, your friends here at Curse Words and Crayons. Four were from last year, so 2023, and one is actually a throwback from 2021. So look at that.
I find that to be so endearing that you're going back to the drelves of 2021, listening to some.
Oh, it's a good one, though. It's a great one.
I'm super excited, and we love us a roundup, right? We love us a roundup. We love us a good show and tell. I have something in my heart that I need to tell everybody about,
yes,
and
I'm so
going
stoked
to
about
apologize.
It.
But we're going to talk about this before we dive into our cases today. So, follow me on this journey. We are still not buying the things, right? Your house is, your trash men will thank you. No more things. We're not buying anything else. We don't need the things. We don't want the things. Keep purging all your clutter, friends. But for Christmas, I got a new Casely phone case, and we've talked about them. I was trying to find the episode. I think it's just something we've casually mentioned throughout the episodes. I don't know if it's ever been a full on product rack?
No, because I don't own one yet. And so I have been wanting to get one.
Yet is the key term here.
Yes.
Because you guys, I looked at it and I'm like, that's kind of spendy and I don't know that I want this. But I kept speaking into my husband's phone and also speaking into his face. I didn't really want one of these. And so guess what I got for Christmas? I got a Casely case. So I'm super excited about it. But if you've never heard of these before, they are phone cases that come with, well, you have to buy them separate, but they have magnetic phone chargers that you can attach to the back of them. How many times are you out in public and you're like, holy shit, my phone's about to die? Pop this bad boy in your purse and you have it wherever you need to go and you don't have to charge it. So if you're sitting at dance or somewhere where you may not have an outlet.
See, this is less my problem, and 100% of my problem is I love to vlog, and so it will be 10:30 in the morning, and my phone is at, like, 5%, and I'm like, but wait, we just got here to Disneyland Tokyo, which we've been to, and it was so much fun, and yes, my phone died, and I did have to use a similar product that was my brother and sister-in-law's, and they weren't very happy about it, but at the end of the day, everybody ended up passing the phones around, because I am the better videographer,
right.
The better recorder of the times for our particular family,
the expert.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like I am. Follow me on Instagram.
I know. If you're not, Z is the expert at just day-to-day musings, which I love so much. And that takes up a lot of your battery. And if you are not home or at a place where you can throw that bitch on a charger, you need one at all times. So I got the case. I got the pod that matches the case. Another thing is I have a million power banks that I take to charge, but you have to have a cord for that.
Yes, and mine are never charged.
No, they're not. So you do have to remember to you do have to remember to charge the pod, but if you're not using it all the time and you keep it charged, so New Year's resolutions, I'm just keeping this charged. I'm trying to. But I love it. The case is super sturdy. It's great and it's thin, so I don't feel like it's super bulky and it still fits in like my car holder thing, you know, that you used for your GPS or whatnot. So it still fits in that. It doesn't have anything on the back. I don't like it when my phone, I know you had like the Loops cases and I don't like stuff on the back of my phone.
So I love the Loopy case though, and I will throw it back to the Loopy case because the Loopy case is malleable and you can still like stick it down. The only so I have this tripod next to me, for instance, and it's not like the pop socket where it's like this bulky ass thing and it won't fit on the tripod. The Loopy at least will go down to a good amount to where it will, like, still sit into, like, your trans standard. Yeah, but it is not mag safe, and it also is not charger.
Wirelessly charged. When you pop it down on a plate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is a no.
This kind of charger.
This is bad for it. No, yeah. Okay, so you have to take the case completely off.
And I hate that because I'm going to drop it.
Yes. And so even when we were, because I had the loopy phone while we were in Japan, and I used a certain, it wasn't the Casely, and theirs were ugly, and they cost just as much. So get the Casely because they're fucking adorable. You can get all these patterns. If anything, just know that that little charger that you're going to get with it is way cuter than anything you can find at the store. Oh, it works just as well. And it costs the same amount, right? But I had to completely take off my loopy case in order to stick it to my phone. And there is nothing more terrifying than, like, walking around with a
mate.
And my personal
kids, no, for sure. And you have kids that are going to touch your phone, and they're going to inevitably drop it. And I don't trust myself. I don't trust my children. I need to have a case on my phone at all times. So I don't have to take it off to add the charger, which is great, but also, now this may be an upcoming product direct because I haven't gotten it yet. I ordered the magnetic flip stick and the adapter for that, and it's coming today, so stay tuned. I'll keep you posted, but basically, it comes with, like, this sticky adhesive piece that I've had the, like, non-pretty one for over a year, and it's just, like, a little plastic piece.
Okay.
But I have put it on an old phone case that I've been taking off and putting back on, but it sticks to literally anything. It has, like, a little sticky thing here, and it stays sticky, and all you have to do is, like, wash it to get it, like, get the
sticky
or whatever. But this one is prettier, and also I can take it off, and so I don't have to put it on a different case. So stay tuned. I'll keep you posted on that. Did I just hear you say that you just ordered your Casely case?
So, yes. So, yeah, I've been looking. I'm so salty right now because I'm the one who fucking told Amy about Casely, and she's over 100%. Here stealing.
And I'm like,
one of my product recommendations.
It's so great.
What a bitch. Didn't even say, hey, Z told me this months and months ago. You know, we've been sitting. No, you did give me. No, I'm just kidding.
A good mansplain. Yes. No, I love it. Yeah.
LOL. No, a good mansplain. Yes. Yeah. Anyways, okay, so they have a Frida Kahlo set. I said that wrong, but they have a Frida set.
And Z loves Frida. If you are
a big Frida person,
big Frida fan.
I think I told you this. I watched her. I've been a fan for a long time, but I watched her BBC documentary here recently, and it just really, I feel very of a kindred spirit with
that.
Frida. I don't know. I just. And even, like, her paintings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, she was a wonderful artist, don't get me wrong. But, like, it was more her perspective on things. And, like, it's just everything. It's just everything. Like, the art is there, and it's gorgeous, and it's beautiful. It also feels like something that everybody could. Not everybody could do, but it feels like something that's obtainable. Does that make sense? And I love a good person that I feel like is doing things that are also it's so inspiring when, yes, they're doing everything and they're living in their own person, but also it's something that if you just tapped into that part of yourself, you could be doing the exact same thing.
And she started really late in life, didn't she?
She got into that accident when she was 21 or something like that, and then that's when she started painting. Now, she had drawn and everything before then, but that's when she started painting, when she was, like, bedridden for months and months and months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I love that. So, yeah, they have a whole collection, which is great.
And they have a Crayola. Yes, they have
a
Crayola collection,
one.
Which I think is so stinky. Honestly, like, I didn't even look at anything other than the Frida ones because I had been eyeing it for a while. And when they came out, I was like, oh, my goodness. I did use a discount code, you guys, and I got – I only had to buy the MagSafe, and I got my case for free.
Dang, dude.
It's just their text code.
Oh, it's just the text code. Okay. So if you go to their webs, I got mine. Well, my husband bought me mine, but I got it off of Amazon.
It
right
was
now,
cheaper for me
might
to
not
do.
Still do that, but they do if you sign up for their texts or whatever. Which if you don't care about that, great.
It was $10 cheaper for me to do it through the text messages than to just get the 25% off site-wide.
For sure. So get yourself a good deal. It's amazing. And I'm obsessed. So, yeah, you will be too. And who doesn't love a good aesthetic, right? As my 11-year-old niece
I'm so excited. It is all about – it's all about the Riz.
Oh, that's right. The Riz. Yeah, I'm so old. I don't know any of these that songs. But
charisma.
The Riz.
The Riz.
I had no idea.
Okay, somebody told me, and that's the only, that is why I'm not trying to, like, you know, that
I'm
is like, why.
I'm young, hip, and
nope,
I'm like,
I am not. I am not. Okay. And so I needed to pass on that information. So everybody,
thank
you can tell your niece, and now you'll be cool.
No, she hates when I use any kind of, like,
oh, because you're lame as fuck.
Oh, because I'm old and I'm lame. So, like, she. Yeah, I'm not allowed to use words like that around her, so.
Auntie Amy. Oh, does she call you Auntie Amy?
She doesn't. She calls me Mimi. She always has.
Oh.
She was like a tiny, because Amy, I think, well, my sister called me Mimi when she was little, and so I think it just kind of like carried on. But, yeah, I get a lot of eye rolls lately, so. But I don't care, because I still am like, hey, I love your drip. And she's like, please don't speak to me anymore. Like,
you think I'm cringy now? You should listen to my podcast.
Right. And so sometimes, not all of them, because I mean, let's be real. We're not really safe for children around these parts. But every once in a while, she'll catch an episode. So, but yes, get yourself a Casely case. Get yourself the charger. I know it's expensive. Just spend it. Okay. It's worth it. There is nothing in your hand more than your cell phone. So just get yourself something nice, but then stop buying things after that, because again, we're on a purchase hiatus, but sorry that I'm giving you more things to purchase this year. We covered so many great cases.
We did.
They're amazing. Here are the top five chosen by you all based on listenership. So thank you for listening. And also can't wait to dig into these. Are we ready?
I am so fucking stoked, and I am starting, with our number one downloaded. Maybe we should have gone in reverse order. It's too late now.
Too late.
Okay. We are starting with our number one downloaded case listen to thingamabob of the year from 2023, and it is the Billings murders.
I was very surprised by this.
There's only five cases. 9 out of 10 of these, I was like, wait, what is this? It's amazing how much knowledge fits into my,
right.
into my brain and then immediately brrr, right back out, right?
Go on.
Okay.
Yeah, goodbye.
So this one, I was like, no, wait, because I thought this was the Guy Family murders.
Oh, okay.
Like, but okay, okay.
It's murder. It's a family, but it's different, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so this is the Billings family. I did a little looky for us, so we have a summary, and now I remember everything. Okay.
I love it.
The Billings family was a well-known family in Pensacola, Florida. Bird and Melanie Billings lived in a huge mansion with several children that they had adopted, okay? So their thing was that they adopted children, and a lot of their children that they adopted had special needs, different circumstances that they had to have very specific care given to them. And they also invested an F-load of money making sure that this house was, like, wired head to toe with different cameras and stuff like that. I think that they had a lot of their children had different abilities, and some of them needed constant care. So this was their way. The surveillance was a way to keep everybody in the loop, okay? The news of their murders, because they were murdered, just the adults, thankfully. The news of their murders as part of a burglary shocked everyone. So he was a successful entrepreneur, and he made his money in the used car business and explored other opportunities. I want to say he even, like, they wanted to try to scandalize it by saying, like, oh, he owned a strip club, okay, and 155 different other businesses. So he just, you know, owned things around the Pensacola,
honestly,
Florida area.
If you're not, like,
if you're not diversifying
about, like,
your
the moral implications of a strip club, which I don't think do you, as long as you're doing it with consent, I don't care. I bet a strip club done in the right fashion is a fucking moneymaker.
We have a friend that owns Treasures in Houston. Shout out to Treasures.
Our episode sponsor, Treasures. Treasures. No.
No, honestly and truly, like, Roberto and I thought about having our birthday party here this last year, like, which is a little, but, like, okay, we could rent out the whole back room. And he treats his girls, like, really kindly and with respect. And if you find the right boss, you find the right boss, right?
For sure. And if you're... I am not a stripper. It is not my a dancer or whatever. I don't know what the proper PC term is these days. But long story short, I bet it's like a decent baller moneymaker.
Oh, I hear you can make thousands in a night. Especially if you're going to show off your patoots.
Yeah.
No?
All the goods.
Exactly. So, anyways. So, he was an entrepreneur. And Melanie was around 25 years old when she met him, and they married in 1993. I think he was married before. Okay, yes, because he had just – it was only 4 months after his divorce from his second wife, which I don't love it, but none of my business. Nobody asked me. They didn't say, hey, Z, is this okay? Because I would have said, no, friends, let's wait.
Not for me. Right. But also –
but apparently
was
for
a
them.
Considerable amount older than her, right?
So much older than her. Again – not for me, but I'm not saying that, like, I'm not here to say that that didn't mean these people weren't amazing. Like, we
sure.
all have friends that date that old man, and we're like, hey.
Got it.
But then that old man ends up being amazing, you know? And they don't seem that old. Anyways, so
right.
Love is love. Anyways, they each had two biological kids. So Melanie had two kids, and he had two kids. And then all together, they adopted 12. Most of them had special needs. They had dedicated their lives to taking care of these kids. And on July 9th of 2009, there was a break-in at the Billings residence. It was awful. 9 of their kids were present. Mass intruders entered the house. They killed 66-year-old Bird and 43, so they were 23 years. That's a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's not my relationship, and that's
right.
Okay for me to think it's a lot, and it's okay for them not to think it's a lot and be able to merge past that.
Absolutely.
Anyways, so they killed 66-year-old Bird and 43-year-old Melanie. One of the children got to a neighbor's house who called 911, and Bird was found face down by the foot of their bed. He was shot 3 times in the head, and Melanie was also on the floor face up, and she was shot in the chest, in the head. None of the kids were harmed. So what was, okay, not that this wasn't all nutso, what was really, really, really crazy about this double murder is that it was very well planned out. So there were a ton of people involved. 2 cars came, to be exact, like 2 cars worth of people. 5 people broke through, like, the back door, if I'm remembering correctly. And one of the men who ended up killing them was someone they knew because they had previously given him a business loan.
And I feel like if I'm remembering correctly, what they were able to actually find in the house was, like, minimal. It was, like, papers
yes.
and, like, $600. Like, it wasn't
yes.
maybe a piece of jewelry. It wasn't enough to have gone through all of these things. And I don't know if they had inside information that there was more money in the house or whatnot, but
I bet they looked wealthy as fuck. But do you know what's very expensive? Medical bills for 12
special needs kids and therapy and it's like there's just so many expenses. And if you're an entrepreneur, you probably don't have
insurance,
or
your insurance is
like,
different,
right? So it's super expensive, which it just like, okay, I wish you would have looked into that prior to ruining
it. If you would have just asked me, I would have told you that
I don't have
all
any
we
money.
Have is the $300 under the mattress
and that's it.
That's it in the house.
And a prayer. That's all. Yeah. But what I do love about this story, that even though it's super sad, Melanie, or I don't remember whose biological child it was, but one of them took in all the kids and raised them.
Yes.
So, like, they weren't separated, which...
They moved into the house, and her and her husband moved into the mom and dad's room, which is a no thank you for me. But, I'm going to burn down that room. I'll go ahead and, like, board up and burn it down. Bleach.
Right.
I don't even use bleach, but I would purchase it.
You would in this instance. But exactly. I think that's really sweet that is, you know, that she decided to take on those kids. But I forgot about this case, I'm going to be honest, until I saw this. So
the Burns family?
Yeah. Like,
100%. I'm like, but who are these people?
Right.
Who are my friends, the Billings? Because I don't remember them any longer.
Don't either. But here they are. Case number two.
Oh, all of these we will link in the show notes, obviously, so you can listen to the full recording. Because, again, these are the top cases that you have downloaded and listened to from 2023. Therefore, we have a full length, like, hour, 35, 45 minutes.
Right, depending on the case, an episode exactly. that goes through all the nitty-grits. So definitely, if you're like, ooh, I want to hear more about that case, check out the show.
Check it out.
This case, I totally remember doing, and it
didn't you suggest it? This was one of my, I know you did the Instagram video for it, and it's one of my favorite suggestions.
It might have been one that had come up that somebody was like, you have to cover this. And I was like, hey, we should cover this. But I didn't know anything about it until we covered it in the episode. But it's the murder of Grant Solomon. So Grant Solomon, he was 18 years old. He was a high school senior. He was a really, really good baseball player. He lived in Franklin, Tennessee, and he attended Grace Christian Academy, which has had some backlash, or there was some, like, hanky-panky happening there. But it wasn't related to Grant, but there are other, like, implications of Grace Christian Academy. In July of 2020, Grant was killed after he was struck by his own car while in a parking lot of a baseball training club in Gallatin, which is close to Franklin. Grant's father, who was a former radio and TV personality named Aaron Solomon, was there and witnessed his death. There was a lot of weirdness that went on through the 911 call and at the hospital afterwards. And in November of 2021, so a little over a year later, a lot of people were just insisting that there was foul play. They were protesting. They were coming to the state capitol. They're urging the police department to reinvestigate the case. Grant had a sister. Her name was Gracie. And his mother, Angela, were convinced that Aaron Solomon was involved. They claimed that there were inconsistencies in the police report and in Aaron's story. If you listen to our episode, we also feel like there are inconsistencies in the story. And Gracie has since made claims that she was abused by her father. There's a super long YouTube video. I made it through most of it. It's very hard to watch. But she posted it in May of 2021.
She's like sobbing and stuff in a lot of it too.
And she goes over a lot of really graphic, awful things that she claims has happened to her. And she calls her father a rapist, a molester, a liar, and a killer.
Good right. for her. You stand up and you say what's wrong and you talk out. Like, if somebody's fucking with you, you fuck with them, right? Don't be quiet. Don't be submissive. I mean, you do what you can to get out of things. So I understand if that's like, whatever. Right. Anyways, I'm with her is what I'm trying
to say. Yeah, the loudest people often get the most, you know, attention, which I think in this instance, how brave of you to be able to go out and be like, listen, this is what happened. But she said that her father or her brother also feared their father, and he was basically always kind of there to protect Gracie. And now that he is dead, she's not sure how, you know, that's going to go, and has tried to cut ties with him. But I know he was doing some pretty sketch things, showing up at her school and like all kinds of weird stuff. But
I believe her.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot imagine. Okay, so I'm a daddy's girl. Like, I've always been a daddy's girl. I assume every Southern girl is a, I know this is incorrect, okay? So don't come at me.
Yeah,
I assume every Southern girl is a daddy's girl, right? Or at least we idolize our parents in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I could not imagine going publicly and telling people that my dad did anything incorrectly, just in general. In general, just, wow, he really fucked up. Like, I couldn't imagine, but to tell everybody that, like, he touched me and that I think that he murdered my brother, like, I believe her.
Right. And honestly, if you have this situation happening and you've got a person with some sort of connection or power in the city, are you wanting to go again? Like, I would be afraid. Like, there would be a lot of fear.
And that's why
I believe her,
because she's so stupid, because she's so young that she doesn't.
Right. That she's like, I don't care. I want people to know, which honestly, it sometimes it works out well for people and sometimes it doesn't. So, they're still trying to fight this case. It was so hard to cover. Aaron Solomon adamantly denies all accusations or speculation about his connection to Grant's case or about Gracie's claims. He denies everything. There are so many inconsistencies. You throw in the accusations of the sister. This is one that I really hope continues to get coverage and that we'll see some new evidence or at least some new information about anybody who knows anything else.
He said his kid was, like, leaving down to get, like, his baseball bat and the truck ran over his head.
Right, and drug him. But it was, like, really – go back and listen to the episode. We go over it in detail of – I mean, it's you know,
nuts.
Trigger warning, but it's really insane. But there's so many things that just don't seem plausible that he's claiming is, like, yeah, and this is happening. And
he's the sole witness.
This your reaction, right? And yeah, so it's a goodie. I mean, it's a baddie, but it's an interesting.
It's awful. Don't kill your kids, friends. Give them to someone else who will love them instead. People are trying to have babies out there. Okay, so like
so many people. So give them yours, even if they're in high school. Even if you want to give them away, because sometimes I'm like, sure, would be nice to have a break, but don't do it.
Occasionally, I think I could sit them out on the porch and a nice family would pick them up.
And somebody will see them and want to take them in.
But I don't because.
But
then,
we don't. That's not nice.
Yes. Yes. Anyways. Okay. So number three, the murder of Brianna Denson. Brianna Denson was at home during winter break from Santa Barbara City College where she was studying psychology. That seems funny now. Anyways, so she was last seen alive on January 20th, 2008 at about 4 p.m. Pacific time at her friend's house near the University of Nevada campus. And this is because she, again, was on winter break, so she was at home. She was staying at her friend's place after a party. Her friend woke up around 9 a.m. and she could not find Brianna, and she saw a small blood stain on the pillow where she slept that night. She called her parents, her Brianna's parents, and said, hey, have you heard from her? Nobody had. They went ahead and they let authorities know. And Brianna left the house apparently, allegedly, without her shoes, cell phone, or her purse as a college student. Which, I mean, I could see one of those things, but where was her camera?
Right. Where was her picture of that? Yeah.
Yeah, where was her, like, little clutch, which apparently, again, she left that behind. But authorities believe that she was only wearing sweats and a white tank top, and she was later found to have been dressed in only bright orange-colored socks, which is just awful. I can't imagine what her parents felt just seeing their daughter like that. So on Tuesday, November 25th, 2008, James Michael Alia, he was 27, he was arrested and booked on charges of murder, first-degree kidnapping and sexual assault, and the arrest occurred while he was dropping his son off at the daycare facility. Could you imagine rolling up to drop your kid off at elementary school and, like, a SWAT team pulling out in front of you to, like, arrest the car in front of you?
Right.
Like, what did they do? Did they run the stop sign? Oh, my gosh. How crazy. Did they cut? Did they cut it too many times? Is this what we're doing? Please, God.
God, in the car line, I wish we could just arrest everyone. It's the worst.
That's why my kid's a bus rider. Anyway, so they arrest him while he's dropping off his kid, which is probably so fucked for that kid, too. Anyways, he had previously been arrested in 2001 for threatening his former girlfriend's neighbor with a knife. Okay, so it was confirmed that the DNA collected from him matched the DNA at the crime scene. So it positively linked him to the murder of Breonna Denson and a previous sexual assault. How was this guy found out? His fucking girlfriend turned him in. Like, his girlfriend at the time, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
Found, like, panties or he had just been acting very suspicious. You'll have to listen to the full episode to hear more. But anyways, he had been like all creepy-creepied about everything. And she was like, nah, this isn't right. And they had had some previous instances, I assume, as a couple. I know some battery things. And so whatever, she turned him in.
I feel like there was also a few instances where she did speak to the police and she was like, I'm not ready. And then finally was like, no, this is too weird for me. I can't anymore. So
she tried to point the finger and they were like, oh, but we're not picking up what you're putting down. And she's like, well, I guess if I have to just fucking spell it out for you fools.
Right.
Which honestly and truly, if I tell you that he's out there murdering people, and you're going to come back and be like, well, we just don't see it. I told you three times, get out of here.
Right. And also, I'm not trained in the art of figuring out these things. So I'm just giving you the information that I know, friends. That's all I got. Interesting. Yeah, that was, can you imagine? I just can't. Like, I can't imagine with so many of these.
She was 19. Also,
to be like just home on break, living your best life. It's just
going out to the bars,
having a good time, and then schmurder. And I don't even think it was somebody that she knew. Like, I don't think they had.
No.
He just, like, randomly realized there was that she was in there, which it's always awful. But, like, it's like, bro, I don't even know you. Ugh. Okay, this one I definitely remember because it sounds like, you know, some of our faves, but it's actually a more recent case and the person is still alive and is no longer in jail. But it was the number 4 episode was Dina Thompson, and she was commonly known as the Black Widow. She's British.
My favorite.
I know.
I want to be known as a Black Widow.
Me too.
Just kidding. I don't want to kill anybody. Like,
but I want to have some street cred. Like, come on.
I think we do. I think this gives us some.
This does. We do. We're cool in our hearts. Our moms say we're cool.
At least we would know how, like, just in your heart of hearts, we all know that Amy and I could murder you. Like, we're aware, and we just choose not to because we're better than you. So
because we're nice. We're under
we're
this
friends. Here
under this tough for exterior now, right, but you don't forget that we know all of the things and all of the ways. But she was arrested and convicted of murder and bigamy, which is getting married to someone when you're already married to somebody else, not to be confused with polygamy, which is being married to multiple people. She was married to somebody, then decided, I'm not going to divorce this person, but I am going to try to marry somebody else, and that's illegal, homie, and you can't do that. She often met men through Lonely Hearts columns,
like
much like some of our faves.
Belle Gunn.
That's right, and would woo them and then steal their money.
I love it. I don't hate it.
I mean,
But I'm about it.
Put it out there. Let's do it. She went to prison for murdering Julian Webb, who was her second husband, who she married while she was still married to her first. After Julian died, she got herself into more legal trouble. So Julian died. She wasn't immediately convicted of his murder. It was seen as like foul play or just kind of like an accident. But she had attempted to murder her next husband. His name was Richard Thompson. She attacked him with a baseball bat and a knife, but was cleared from his attempted murder on the grounds of self-defense. Obviously, some of these gentlemen that she's pairing up with are not very nice. And so there had been some abuse claims, so she was cleared on the grounds of self-defense. Even though she was acquitted of that crime, the police were now suspicious, and they were like, there's something not adding up from this other guy's murder or this other guy's death. They exhumed Julian's body. She was sentenced to 16 years with no parole and wasn't eligible for release until 2019. She was also convicted of theft as well as defrauding former lovers. So she was eligible for release in 2019, but was not released from prison until 2022 and has since been seen out shopping. I mean, what a joy to be just walking around amongst all of the folks.
I didn't know 16 years was enough for murdering someone for like literally no good reason. I mean, we all know that Gypsy Rose, she's out now, right?
Yeah.
But... and however you want to swing this, right? Whatever you want to say with that. It just, some things happen to her too. And I could see this is not the same. This is very different. I'm so confused. I do not understand
right. How
she is allowed to be out
released. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it either. And I think this kind of goes back to depends on the judge and your ability to pay for a lawyer and who's there that day, which I think is really
a
conversation for another day. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Our last one for today and our number 5 from 2023 is a throwback from 2021. The Guy family murders, which I do distinctly remember because
it is brutal.
And what's the Guy Jr.? What's his name? Joel. He does not. Yes. His face lives, unfortunately, rent free in my mind. Like I see him all the time. He, to me, looks like Wormtail from Harry Potter.
Ooh, yeah.
I feel like they stand the same with their, like, rat hands. I feel like he looks very ratty.
I don't know that I've ever thought that, but I can see it now.
Okay, love it. Okay, anyways, on December 2026, in 2016, 61-year-old Joel Guy Sr. and 55-year-old Lisa Guy were murdered and dismembered by their son. He was 28 years old. His name was Joel Michael Guy Jr. And this happened in Knoxville, Tennessee. Didn't something else happen in Tennessee?
Yeah, the Grant Solomon.
There case. You go. Tennessee.
Tennessee's not an okay place to live, guys.
You know what? Fun fact, if we moved somewhere to a different state, Tennessee is top of the list. So look at that. Look at that. Anyways, So apparently Joel stabbed his father at least 42 times and his mother 31 times. And he was convicted of both murders in October of 2020. And he received a sentence of life imprisonment. You want to know why? Duh.
I do.
His parents were going to retire soon and they would stop providing money to him. And he was still in college, but wasn't working and had apparently like never had a job. But the life insurance policy, he would receive $500,000 if they were both dead or missing. Mm. So he obviously decided to murder them.
It makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't you?
That money is not, that's not that much.
It's really not. And when people are just like, oh, well, I'm just gonna murder everyone I know. I just don't. I don't.
Yes, that's not that much to like go to jail. Okay, that can get you like a decent house nowadays, and like maybe that's about it. You know, who's to say? Give you a little nest egg, but for like a year or two, like that's not a ton. Anyways, it's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money. Regardless, it shouldn't matter how much money it is. He fucking killed his parents. So the murder involved an elaborate plot to stab both of his parents, dismember them, and dissolve their remains. Then he was going to clean and burn down some of the house, and then he was going to frame his father for the crime. The only reason this didn't work out was because he was injured during the stabbing, and he left the house to go to Walmart to buy more supplies in order to dress his wounds. Before he returned, the police discovered everything. They performed a welfare check. Apparently, Lisa, I think she worked at a dental office. She didn't return for work on Monday after Thanksgiving, and they were very concerned because she was a very loyal employee, so they sent somebody out for a welfare check. They discovered a backpack containing a notebook completely detailing the plan, plastic bins with their torso and dismembered limbs dissolving in an acid-based solution. And, yeah, there's, like, other body parts, like, stewing on the stove. Friends, if you are going to write down your plot for murder, take it with you when you leave said area of murder. You know?
Right?
Just keep it on your persons.
Yeah.
Sew a special thing into your panties, into your underwear.
Keep it in your underpants, okay?
Yeah, keep that close to you.
Backpack. Come on.
And then leave it behind? I mean, also, don't kill your parents. And
also,
all
there's clearly some
just don't kill. Facility. Don't kill.
Agreed. Agreed. I was trying to find a central theme between these, and I just don't see it, other than just a good old-fashioned good
just
case
some crimey
cover.
Crimes, yeah.
If you do see a theme, please let us know. Sometimes you all are really great about coming up with stuff like this. So next week, come back. We will have a new case where we will jump to new conclusions yet again with another fun-filled hour or less with us. Until then, drink your water, don't murder your loved ones, and we will see you back here in just 1 week. Goodbye.
Bye.